This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt Rossi. I'm the host here on this show where we grow and glow. Yes, that's a callback to something else because we've been recording podcasts all day and I'm kind of jumping in the head. Anyway, up with me are my two magnificent co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez. Say hi, Liz.
Hello.
And Joe, you don't have to say hi if you don't want to, whatever.
It's been 84 years.
Hello.
So yeah, this is kind of a special deal. We're recording on Saturday because Joe is unfortunately being forced to travel this week, and we wanted to make sure you guys still got a show. As a result of that, not a lot has happened since the last one we recorded this week. By the time you hear this, Talk Like a Pirate Day will have come and gone, and so talking a lot about that a lot feels dumb. It's actually happening while we're recording, but that doesn't do you any good. So yeah, we're just going to probably jump into some questions because we got a fair amount, thanks to the generosity of our various followers on their Patreon and our Discord channel and through Twitter and all that good stuff. Liz made sure to ask for some more. There's even a few in the queue that Liz grabbed for us. So I'm going to tell Liz, go ahead and read something.
Just pick anything? Can I just like grab a book and start reading?
If you'd like to. I mean, we could do that Wheel of Time thing you keep talking about.
Oh, gosh.
Thor stared into her eyes. I love you. Marry me. We just met 5 minutes ago. I sold you a fish. I know. That fish is my heart.
No, we would be talking hours and hours and hours. Okay, let's go on topic with the question about actual Blizzard Entertainment games. Frozen Water Foes. Should hunters be able to tame dragons, druids, ghost wolf shaman, everything? And yes. That is from Tharaval.
No, it's not. Tharaval's the next guy.
Oh.
We don't have a name on this one.
I don't see a name on that one. Okay. See, we've already messed it up.
It's my wife, guys. My wife did this one. It was part of last week, the question that we answered. She did this one too. The name didn't come along.
That just means you have to say yes.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, they should be able to do that.
And the funny thing is we were literally just talking about this on the aforementioned podcast we just recorded beforehand. So if you haven't listened to Lore Watch, you should go ahead and do so. There is actually instances of NPC hunters taming druids. And that was, and the funny thing is that is a, and I remember this from back in ye olden days of beta World of Warcraft. That was something that was a player joke and question, because there were certain abilities that hunters had. I forgot what it was. that could, in theory at the time, affect a druid in feral form, because before the actual release of the game, druids, when they were in their feral form, stopped being humans and started being beasts. It was hilarious for the short time that it actually occurred. But honestly, I think they've been doing a really good job of ever widening what hunters can actually tame. But I would also be cool with them going back to some of that sort of like tongue-in-cheek stuff with the nod to the original like foibles, I guess, of the game, where maybe you can scare beast and as an interrupt, but only on something that is in a beast form, like a ghost wolf or a druid or something like that. I think they should be able to tame dragons, because dragons are cool, but not ones that have brains. The ones that are feral, the feral dragons, only those. Yeah, I mean, I'm a hunter alt. I always want to catch more pets. Give me more pets. I like more pets.
I'm just going to say, this is one of the things I find hilarious about hunters, though, and this is something I've talked about with like lots of people, including my wife, who has played a hunter since beta, is essentially, in order to get a pet as a hunter, you like put down a trap, then you shoot that animal, so it's like, ow, my shoulder, and then comes running over to bite you, hits the trap, and then you love it until it's like okay that you shot it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just in general. It's just something that just amuses me, like, unto death. I find this, the idea of so many things in World of Warcraft involves, like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I guess you're not that bad. Just the idea of taming things. And the fact that they have the special books to tame, like, dinosaurs or undead things or robots. I don't even understand how taming a robot works.
You beat it until it likes you. You just went over this.
It's okay. It's okay. I know that I hit you in a freezing trap, but you're a good robot. I am a good robot. Yeah, that's it. Now you'll be my squirrel companion. I'll be your squirrel companion. I don't know. But yeah, I do think that hunters should be able to tame more stuff. But they have, over the years, put a lot of stuff out there for hunters to tame. If you tamed, like, I don't think anybody can tame one of every family. I think you would run out of space, even with the new, bigger space that they have. I think you would run out of space if you tried to do that. So yeah, that's me. Liz?
Why not? I mean, that's my only thing. The only problem is, if you tamed like a giant dragon, wouldn't, as a pet, it would become like a tiny dragon. So you wouldn't have that great visual effect. Like if you went in and tamed Onyxia, then all of a sudden you have like a tiny Onyxia that's like the size of a wolf or something.
Do you guys remember when there was a Worgen mob in Wrath that you could tame accidentally?
Mm-hmm.
Like you could tame it, like it started off as a wolf, but it would transform back into a worgen. But if you waited long enough and got it just in the middle of its transformation, you could tame it and have a worgen following you around attacking things. When you mentioned Onyxia, I imagine that you tame Onyxia, and then instead of shrinking, she just turns into Lady Prester and follows you around. You're like, you know, go get her, Lady Prester. And Lady Prester runs out and starts punching the things you're fighting. And it's like Gruul is like, what is happening? Why is there a little woman hitting me in the leg? I don't understand.
Yeah, dragons start to get kind of weird if you're, yeah.
I honestly, though, I wonder if they could ever put a thing in where, like, hunters got, like you mentioned, an interrupt. If they could, like, they couldn't tame a druid or a shaman and have the druid or shaman do things for them, like become a hunter pet, but they could use the similar ability to just freeze them in place, like a crowd control.
Yeah, something like
that.
And
it could work on, it could work in PvP, and it could also work on NPC ones in PvE situations. You could just, you know, if they turn into an animal or whatever, you can do that, and then they're stuck. So that might be cool. I don't think it would be cool to have a player get tamed. Because
no.
That, do you lose your character, or do you just have to follow that person around and do what they say? I mean, Priest Mind Control was already kind of OP. If you guys remember, Mind Control was used back in vanilla. So yeah, I'm not too down on hunters being able to do the same thing to druids and shaman. Well, maybe shaman, because that would be funny.
Also, I would like to point out that another thing that they did that I thought was actually kind of cool, way back in, and this is a callback that I just remembered, is in, again, beta of vanilla WoW, players could tame griffins. They took that away very, very quickly because there was a particular point where you could literally just completely depopulate griffin spawns for questing in an area. But Then they went back, and I think it was Legion when they did Feathermane taming. They added them in as part of the Feathermane, like how to tame stuff. So you can do owl steeds, Larions, hippogriffs, and owl cats, and wolfhawks, and classic griffins. And I thought it was really, really nice because it was bringing it back to sort of like, hey, here's sort of this thing that you used to be able to do, and you know, we took it away from you, and we never gave it back for whatever reason. So, because my wild hunter, or my wow, I cannot talk today. My clan of my dwarf clan wild rider hunter would have absolutely loved to have had a griffin pet. That's neither here nor there. But just figured I'd add that.
There's actually quite a few cool hippogriffs as well that people can tame when you're talking about that kind of tame as well. I do think that it's cool that they brought them back.
All right.
But I guess, Joe, you're up.
Cool. This one does come from Theraval. With Mage Tower appearances coming, are you looking forward to any of your recolors? Do you still use any of your artifact transmogs?
I wanted to actually, this one's good to get to because Liz pointed out, she posted that we could talk more about the Mage Tower since it is, it's been confirmed that it is coming back. Liz, you want to talk about like what we're getting?
Sure, yeah. In patch 9.1.5, we are getting Legion Time Walking, and that's not just dungeons, but they're also bringing back the Mage Tower. Now, if you didn't plan Legion, the Mage Tower was this single-player challenge scenario where each spec had its own kind of thing. Like, if you're a healing spec, you'd go in and you would have to heal these complete idiots who went out and totally wanted to die, like the worst party ever. Mm-hmm. They were really pretty challenging, and you would do them completely by yourself. And if you completed them, you would get a unique artifact appearance. And I never completed mine. I could not finish the healing challenge. I was playing a Mistweaver at the time, and I just could not do it. So they aren't bringing it back with the artifact appearance. No artifact appearances. Those are done, gone, but they are going to reward you with some special armor transmogs that are recolors of the Tomb of Sargeras sets, right?
Yeah, it's the, if you guys did Tomb of Sargeras, or if you PvP'd in Legion, there was a Mythic Tier 20 set that had a unique appearance that was shared by the Elite PvP Gladiator set. And this one will look like that, but a different color. Like, for instance, the Warrior one is that set, the Onslaught, but with really, really overdone shoulders and a giant faceplate full of holes. In a different, much better color scheme, quite frankly. I didn't like the actual Mythic tier of Tomb of Sargeras tier 20 look. Color wasn't very great for Warriors. The color scheme they're bringing in is much better. But I still don't like that set, so I'm not going to get it. But regardless, there's still like they're adding in a lot of new stuff. And there's an achievement you can get for doing. There's 7 challenges in total, and each of the challenges, like one is the healing one, one is the tanking one, and then there's a bunch of DPS ones. And they break up the DPS ones into like this one's more for ranged DPS, this one's more for melee DPS, this one's more for these specific classes because they're weird. In total, though, there are 7. And if you do all 7, and you can't do all 7 on one character, the most you could ever do on one character would be 4 if you were playing a druid, because druids get 4 specs, and therefore they get 4 challenges they can do. A demon hunter can only do 2 of them, because they only get tanking or DPS, and that's it. So the best option if you want to get this achievement, which you do want to get this achievement if possible, because that's where the new spell tome mount comes from. It's from completing the achievement. And that's pretty cool. Have you guys seen the spell tome yet?
I have not.
A book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a book. The thing is we're not entirely sure what it's going to look like, because they never showed us the model of it. So we don't know if you're going to ride the book like a saddle on the back of a book. We don't know if you're going to stand on the book like it's a giant flying carpet. We have no idea. But I'm interested. This is the one that I wanted when they were doing. This is one of 4 that they had the Legion. Like when we were going into Shadowlands, there was a contest where people voted on what mount they wanted to get. And one of them was the Jelly Cat. One of them was a giant tree. One of them was
that we got.
Yeah, one of them was the spell tome. And the 4th I have completely forgotten. But this one is one of the ones we could have gotten from that. We didn't get it from that. So the way it will be brought into the game is this achievement. Getting all seven of these done in the 2-week period of the initial Legion time walking is going to be hard. We don't know how hard, because we don't know. You don't have these fights have to be rebalanced because you don't have an artifact anymore. And that means that, you know, you don't have the artifact ability that you were often required to use to survive.
Yeah.
So they have to rebalance the fights so they don't have like a big wave of fire. I have to use my artifact ability or I'm going to explode sort of thing. But go ahead.
It's going to be interesting because we have different skills than we did then. And some of these encounters were very tightly tuned. Like, you know, you would have guides that would be like, cast this at this time, cast this at this time. Like, you needed interrupts. You needed all of these different specific skills to finish these challenges. And what if you get a class that doesn't have quite the same skill set as it did last time?
Because these
really stretched what you could do.
It's definitely going to be interesting. I don't know how many people are going to be able to do that challenge. It seems like, you know, for one thing, you have to have at least three characters. Probably. I mean, unless you've got a druid, then you probably just pick up the other two on another character.
We don't really have any information on this, right? Like, we don't know how it's going to work quite yet.
Nope. Just that they're rebalancing them. We don't know how.
Yeah. I find that fascinating that they're rebalancing instead of, like, doing time walking where the artifacts are activated at a specific point. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm curious what the decision was to rebalance versus something like that.
Well, one thing is this does not require you to have an artifact weapon. So if you have players now who didn't play during Legion, didn't get their artifacts, then that's not that doesn't block them necessarily.
Yeah, they don't have to go back and do Legion just to get an artifact.
I think you're missing what I was saying, though. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who went back and did that, though. I'm actually curious, like, why, like, what if they could have just done it where, like, you queue for it and your spec gets the appropriate artifact at whatever level. Do you know what I mean?
Feel like it might be easier, you know, if you know what your character can do now, but you didn't play in Legion to get that artifact, you're basically asking them, okay, now learn how to use this artifact during this fight, which is already pretty complicated. I get what you're saying, but I feel like that's the kind of thing what would be better for people like us who played then and who know the artifact. Like, I have muscle memory that will probably tell me how to use that shield again.
Sure.
But for somebody who's never done it, you know, I feel like that's also, if you remember playing the Kael'thas fight back in Burning Crusade, having gimmick weapons that just show up and you have to use them just to survive a fight doesn't feel great. I always hated that. I always hated having to get that shield. Always hated having to use that shield. It just, yeah, I didn't enjoy it. So I'm thinking, I think it's probably a better move to rebalance it, quite frankly.
Well, which is totally fair. I was just kind of throwing it out there as kind of like a, I'm surprised, or maybe it was suggested. I was just kind of curious. Mostly, and this is maybe just being selfish, I actually really liked the idea of artifacts. And yeah, maybe it's because I played through it that I'd be fine. But I'm also kind of a little sad that a lot of players didn't get to experience it in like the current way, because the artifacts were one of the coolest things I think that they had done in an expansion, as far as like an expansion-wide system. I actually really liked it. I liked the idea of uncovering the lore from it. I liked the idea of having one central weapon because you didn't need to go and farm it from various bosses that might only potentially drop it if it's the end of the raid. Like, you just had it and you powered it up and you kind of went and it felt like you were building something, and it was just kind of cool. And maybe I just kind of missed that system because it was the one time that all these momentary systems of gathering and building power, I think it felt the best. So I don't know.
Yeah, there were some problems with it, like the whole artifact power thing. But yeah, in general, it feels like every version of it they've tried to introduce since has been diminishing in terms of its actual effect. Like, they keep not – I almost wish they just bring back artifacts. Like, let us power them up again. Let us – oh, it's a new threat. Let's use our artifacts again or something. I don't know. But regardless, I get you. I do think, though, to answer the actual question that Thurival asked – because I'm real good at derailing things. I am not looking forward to any of the recolors. Because, like I said, I think the Warrior recolor is better than it was the original set. But the original set is so bad that I still don't want it. And for my Death Knight, maybe. Like, I might try and do some stuff on my Death Knight. but I'm not particularly interested in any of the other recolors because my shaman, no. Yeah, basically none of the classes that I play have a recolor that I'm super excited about. But you guys are here, so
I am equally unexcited.
I'm gonna do
the challenges because I think it's, you know, interesting and fun, but the paladin set is kind of generic. It's like gold and white and glowy, and there's blue, and it's like, okay, I think I have this armor set already. Or
I think the shoulders, yeah, the paladin has good shoulders, like with the books on them.
Yeah,
I think those are cool.
Yeah, but their shoulders are very much like that from Siege of Orgrimmar that I have.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm like, this is not unique or interesting. Like, okay, it's a thing. I'll get it because I get things, but...
Joe?
There's not anything that's really speaking to me that I have to have this recolor. I'm glad that they're adding them back in, or they're adding them in. I'm thinking it'll be a cool thing for people to get. It's not going to be a driving factor.
As for, you know, do I use any of the artifact variant transmogs? I use one. Well, that's not fair. On my paladins, I tend to use Ashbringer because why not? I got Ashbringer.
Mm-hmm.
But on my warriors, there's a specific transmog that I use from the artifact appearances, but it's not from the Mage Tower because, quite frankly, that sword was hideous and I didn't want it. And plus, I didn't know we were going to get to transmog to them. So I wasn't really all that excited about it. But there's a transmog that I wanted to get very much, and I did get, that required you to run a whole bunch of stuff. I think it was called Balance of Power.
Yeah.
And I went and got the Balance of Power look because it was amazing. And it was hard, but it wasn't hard in a way where I felt like, okay, if I don't get this done, then they're going to take it out and it's stressful. I don't like feeling stressed. Like, if there's something in the game that's like this, but I won't be able to, if I don't do it now, I'll never be able to do it, then it's too stressful for me and I don't want to do it. Whereas the new Mage Tower, I'll have a time limit, but if I don't complete it this time, I'll just come back the next time it comes up. And I think that's a better system. Whereas going, so you can't complete this, you know, and once Legion's done, you can't complete it because we're taking the artifacts out and you're not going to be able to do it. Okay, I get why you don't want to change that. I get that that's what you told people when you did it and they worked hard and got it. So I'm not upset about it, but I'm not interested in that. So for me, the Balance of Power artifact appearance was the one I wanted. It's the one I got. It's the one I still use. And I think it's great. I love that appearance, but that's it for me. Yeah.
I'm going to say the Paladin Hidden Artifact Appearance, which is like a Reinhardt Hammer. I use that all the time. It's great. There is nothing more satisfying than being a holy paladin with a giant hammer that you just hit things with. It's great.
And I do still use my my Scepter of Tides one as well regularly. I'm not currently because I'm not using two individual items. I'm using a two-hander, but when I'm not using a two-hander and I'm using a one-hander and a shield, yeah, I generally do.
You know, you can mog the one-hander and a shield over your two-hander, right?
Really?
Yep.
Well, yeah. That just changes things. All right. Well, then yes, I'll be using it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so you can do it the other way too. Like, yeah, you can do the paladin one. Yeah. Go ahead, Liz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll use my paladin transmog, which is a two-hander, you know, over my sword and shield because I don't like the way my shield transmog matches. Like, if I don't have a shield that I really like, I'm like, okay, time to break out the hammer.
And today I learned a thing.
Oh, yeah. You're now more educated in your transmog.
But yeah, that should answer your question, Tharval. And of course, we also got to do a sidetrack and actually talk about a news thing. So thank you for that as well.
All right, Liz, I think you're up.
Okay, this question comes from a very tired moon. I think we all know the feeling of being a very tired moon.
I gotta apologize before you get going. There's actually three questions in there from very tired moon.
Okay. I'm gonna read these one at a time.
That makes sense.
What's the Mount Toy Pet transmog that still eludes you? I'm running Ulduar on 2 to 3 characters a week and have completed the legendary 3 times without seeing Mimram's head.
I have Mim's head.
I have been lucky on a lot of things, like the mount in the maw, that what you ride in the maw, like early on, I forget what it's called. But I went down and did the Beast Horns. The first time I did the Beast Horns, bang, mount. So sometimes I'm really lucky, but like there was Baron Rivendare's mount. I have run that dungeon like 1,000 times without that dropping.
I got that on my 14th time through there.
In Burning Crusade, I was playing a paladin, and I could solo up to Rivendare. I could solo through and kill Rivendare, and I would just do that on repeat for hours, and just nada. I've given up at this point. I'm just, no, fine, okay, I'm not getting my skeleton horse. That's okay.
The thing is that I get a lot of stuff that I wasn't trying to get.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, Mim's Head. I got Baron Rivendare's mount the first time it dropped, but this was back when it was like
I actually kept
in your bag, and I gave it to someone else. I let them have it. I actually petitioned a GM, and they took it because I didn't want it, and the other person did. So I don't have it because of that, and that's going back to like 2005. Actually, 2004. No, it might have been early 2005 because 2004, it's like November to December. I don't think I was at that level yet. But anyway, in terms of stuff that's eluded me, obviously there's a big one that I finally got last expansion. So with that done and out of the way, there isn't anything transmog-wise that I'm specifically looking for and I'm upset when it doesn't drop. Like nothing that I'm trying to get that badly. I'm missing the shoulders from tier 20, not the heroic version. I'm missing quite a bit of the mythic version, but I'm not trying to get that. I'm missing a few pieces from Antorus, and that's about it. Like, I have cleaned out most of the transmog I was interested in getting. I have run it into the ground. I've completely cleaned out Hellfire Citadel raid. All difficulties, pretty much everything from Warlords, everything from Mists of Pandaria, everything from Cataclysm, everything from Wrath. I've got it. I mean, I've even got my Shadowmourne. So I've been lucky in that area. I don't do pet stuff very much. I don't do toy stuff very much. In terms of mounts, of all the mounts that I've ever wanted to get that I have not gotten, it's Adamen. I have cleared out Karazhan since 2007. I have cleared Karazhan possibly 10,000 times. Like, I have no idea how many times, but once a week for multiple years. Like, you know, it's been a long time. Never even seen it drop in any group I was ever in. Never seen it drop on a single farm. I've taken multiple characters through in a week sometimes. Never seen it drop. I'm sure it exists. I know people have got it. Not me. I don't got it.
So I have two that I'm going to put out there. And one of them is Ataman's Mount. So when Ataman was current content and I was with my former guild, we got it on our first kill. I rolled a 99. I was so excited. I thought I was going to get that horse, and I was giddy and giggling. And then this hunter in our guild, who's still a good friend of mine to this day, and you heard me mention this name on streams or on the podcast before, but Zabos, if you're listening, I have not forgotten. He rolled a 100, immediately left the group because he thought I was going to find a way to kill him. I have never seen it drop since. And I, like Matt, I have done it almost every week since it was current content. I can kind of forgive that one. And that's a mount. That's not as important. However, there's a transmog piece that has eluded me since Blackwing Lair. I have never, ever seen the Dragonstalker Gauntlets drop. I have run this instance every week since it was current content, and I still do not have the Dragonstalker Gauntlets. It is the only transmog piece from that entire set that I do not have. I have the recolor. I have the black version from the crafted set that came out later. Those I have. But I do not have, and still to this day, while running this thing weekly, have yet to see Dragonstalker Gauntlets drop. I have no idea how this is physically possible because there are three bosses that drop it in that raid. And I have killed them every week since Vanilla WoW. And I still don't have it. Please just give me the dang gauntlets. Please. Everything else I've gotten, every other transmog, I literally just completed the other set the other night with Liz. We did a transmog run. Last week, Tuesday, after we did the podcast recording, we went back and cleared out. Why can't I think of the name of it now? The last raid
Hellfire Citadel.
Thank you. The last raid in Warlords of Draenor, and I completed my set So I was very, very happy about that. But yeah, no, Dragonstalker Gauntlets, they just don't exist. At least not for me.
I feel really like bad because I did that thing your friend did to you to somebody on Mim's head. Like he literally rolled a 99 and I rolled 100 and took it. And he was like, here's the thing though. In that instance, I had tried to make my guild give the mount to the raid leader because he'd worked so hard to get us through. And this was back when you had to zero lights Mim to zero lights Yogg to get the head. Like it was an automatic drop if you completed this hard mode, but it was only in hard mode. That was the only way to get it. And we were the only guild on our server that managed it. And I was like, guys, we know we're never coming back here. Like, we did this just to get it done. We're never going to come back here. Whoever gets it is going to have it. Why don't we just let him have it? He's the one who put all the work into getting this to happen. And this guy, the one that ended up rolling a 99 on it, was like, no, man, everybody did it. Everyone contributed. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. But then I was like, all right, I'm going to roll then. And he rolled a 99. I was like, yeah, I got them out. And then I rolled 100. And everyone was like, oh, because they knew how much he wanted it. And I took the mount and I tried desperately to get the raid leader to take it from me. I'm like, no, you should take this. It should be yours. He goes, man, you won the roll. So I ended up with Mim's head. That's why I have it. I didn't even want it.
At least
I don't even ride it.
at least yours has some altruistic intention behind it.
Well, yeah, but it was also kind of an F that guy.
But fair. But again, I would forgive the losing Atman's mount if I could just get those. I want to swear so badly, folks. You have no idea. those ding dang gauntlets. But I think we can move on to the next part of the question list.
Okay. Next up, what are you looking forward to most in 9.15? What do you hope they'll still add? I've got to say, the Covenant stuff. I am so looking forward to being able to switch Covenants on a dime. Like, since the game launched, I've been Kyrian. And I think that's really the most practical Covenant for a Holy Paladin because the ability gives you a lot of Holy Power really fast, and it's a great tool in my healing toolkit. But I know there are a lot of really great Vinthir paladins, and I see all of these, like, all of the top end rating paladins are Vinthir, and I wanted to try it out. And then I think, okay, I could switch covenants, and then I grind up renown, and then I feel exhausted just thinking about that, and I've never done it. So I'm looking forward to being able to just hot swap covenants when I want to. And I'll probably go through and try out a bunch of different ones and see how they play. But mostly Vinthir, I'd like to see how that plays because it can change up your playstyle a lot just having that one covenant ability.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I don't have an answer yet. I'm thinking about it. So, Joe?
I was going to say, for me, honestly, the thing that's making me the happiest about patch 9.1.5 is the quality of life improvements across the board that they're putting in. And I generally like those because there are certain things about some of the content that I don't like. I've been very vocal about, I like the story of the Maw versus the player experience of the Maw. And I understand that some people really like it. Like, I have guildies that absolutely love doing stuff in the Maw. I don't understand it, but good for them. But adding mounts to the Maw made that a little bit more accessible to me. And there's other, like, changes that they're looking at doing that are going to make it a little more accessible and user-friendly. And I'll probably enjoy it more then. But little things like that, because I'm the type of person I like to experience all the content an expansion has to offer. And if something doesn't strike me the right way or doesn't live up to the promised expectation and I just don't want to do it anymore, I feel like I missed out on something. And so the quality of life improvements that they're putting in make it easier for me. And it's like a totally selfish thing to experience that content that I feel like I've missed out on. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. As far as what I hope they'll add, honestly, I hope they keep going down the quality of life improvement chart and just kind of ticking off boxes. Because every time they change a little thing to make things easier, more accessible, or friendlier for players to catch up, I'm happier. So that's all. That's mine.
Battle for Azeroth Legacy loot on raids. That's it. I didn't do a fair chunk of Battle for Azeroth stuff because I was in and out of playing. Like I completely missed the Dazara lore tier of raiding. I did the first tier. I did the Ashara tier, and then I did the last tier. But I didn't do Dazara lore or Crucible of Storms at all. So I would love to be able to go back to those various raids and get like the transmog looks from them. I'd like to go back to raids where I just didn't get the drop I wanted and farm those. Old Deer in particular, I want to like really dig into. There's a couple of sword models I want out of that. So yeah, legacy loot for Battle for Azeroth. I think if I was going to say a change they should make, just make it so every expansion is legacy loot the second the next one comes out. There is no reason to make us wait two expansions for this. Why do that? You know, there's no reason I can think of.
Well, I have an idea of why there might be some of that. I don't know that it's accurate, but I'm curious if part of that is a holdover because there was a point in time where previous tier loot, in particular trinkets, were being used in the next expansion because of effects or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm wondering if part of this is a hangover from fear of some of that rain still.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to use a Battle for Azeroth weapon from a raid, considering that you get better gear halfway through leveling in Shadowlands. So, yeah, and maybe trinkets, because trinkets are hard to get and oftentimes won't drop. But I think ratings decay, and especially the new system that they put in Shadowlands for ratings, means that it's not as important, quite frankly. And I just straight up want them to put it in. That's what I want. Whether or not it has problems, I don't care, because it is dumb. I remember when I was in Legion going through those raids because I was trying to finish up Balance of Power because I hadn't quite finished it before Battle for Azeroth came out, and nothing was dropping off multiple bosses. Nothing. Like, I killed four bosses here and nobody dropped anything. That's just... No. If you're capable of going in and soloing a raid, you should get gear. I don't care. Just that's my thing.
Sure. All right, and I think we have one more part of that question, Liz.
Okay, the last part of the question from Very Tired Moon. What is your favorite snack or beverage while playing the video games?
Nutter Butters, Diet Root Beer. You guys go.
That's an interesting combination. I like gummy bears. Like, they're kind of sweet. They aren't sticky enough. They aren't sticky like they make your fingers sticky. And the only bad part is if you sit here with like a container of gummy bears, you'll just eat gummy bears until you feel ill from eating so much sugar. It's really the only downside.
Imagine telling your childhood self that you as an adult, you can eat all the gummy bears you want, but you won't because it'll make you feel sick. They would be so sad.
Yeah, it is kind of tragic growing up.
Yeah, for me, I don't really snack during while I'm playing video games, usually because I'm one of those people that, like, I twitch heal a lot and I heads up heal a lot. Mm-hmm. Which means that I'm using my mouse and my hand to cast my heal all the time. I don't use mouse over macros. I don't use keybinds on my mouse for it. It's all left-hand, right-hand stuff. So I tend to not snack during or video gaming in general. It's just kind of the way my brain works. However, I've really grown kind of addicted to 7-Eleven have these. It's totally not Gatorade drinks that they have zero versions of and really good flavors that I really like because I'm a sucker for citrus. And so one of them is like mango orange, and it's really, really good. So that's been my go-to for a while now because I can cap it. I don't have to worry about my cat knocking it over because she loves to be on my desk when I'm playing video games. But also it's a little bit more flavorful than water. So yeah, and that's sort of been my go-to. So there you go, if you ever wanted to know. All right. Our next question, unless anybody has anything else to add, comes from Liz the Second, or Liz P. Question for the Blizzard Watch podcast. What are your thoughts on them scrubbing Prince Aiden's name from the Diablo 2 Resurrected pre-release backstory lore post? And I will let Matt go for that one. Yeah, go for it, Matt.
I'm not tremendously surprised, to be honest. Quite frankly, I wouldn't expect them to put that in there, because for one thing, it's kind of a major spoiler for the game.
Yeah.
If you know who the Dark Wanderer was going in, you're not supposed to know what's going on for sure. And people are going into this. I don't think they want to like have too much going on there, but I know some people think that it's like, I don't know how to put it. Like, some people think it's a problem because they feel like it means that Blizzard is changing the lore. I doubt it. I seriously doubt they're changing the lore. The identity of Aiden is a major plot point in Diablo 3.
It is.
So to completely root him out would make Leah nonsensical. And Leah is a whole big part of that game. So I don't think it's anything more than just trying to preserve a little bit of mystery for people playing this for the first time. That's basically all I think it is.
I remember back in the olden days of buying video games and getting the manual, how many times, like, a game when you would open it up and you would read the manual and it would spoil the story for you because it made references to things that were in there that you would naturally experience while playing the game. And I'm talking like 80s, 90s. Ish era, right? So right around the time when like Diablo was coming out, you'd still shipped with like a manual, a book. I still have the original one from World of Warcraft, where it referenced Dwarven Mages before Dwarven Mages could ever be played in game. But like it always fascinated me because like now in the digital age, that didn't happen very often. And like, when's the last time you even purchased a physical game that came with like a manual, like an actual, like, here's how you play
Cyberpunk the game. 2077 on my Xbox.
Did it come with a physical manual?
It comes with a physical manual, but the physical manual is just a thing that folds into it's like a couple of sheets of paper essentially folded
right up.
It's not like the old days, you pointed out the Warcraft 3 manual. The Warcraft 3 manual has been the source of problems for Blizzard ever since they made the game, because all of Burning Crusade, they had to cope with the fact that they'd said stuff in the Warcraft 3 manual that now wasn't true. So yeah. I don't think that using the Evil Returns thing at the end of this, I don't think it's a surprise. I just think it is just them. If you'll notice, they just mention the paragraph where he'd even get mentioned. For one thing, they want to preserve it so that if you played Diablo on, like, say, a mage or a rogue, you don't necessarily have to be like, wait, wait a minute, what happened. But they also use the he thing. So they're using he. You are basically getting who it is. So I just don't think it's a major problem. That's my thing on it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. All right. So I think that answers that one. Liz, you want to take the next?
Yes. Next question is from Riptides. If you could go back to any point in the main timeline for Warcraft to make a single change, when would you go? What would you change? And how would the world be different now because of that change? I have an answer for this one. I think it's a great answer. I would go back to Burning Crusade, that horde quest where you, like, tell Garrosh to buck up and, like, live up to his role, and you're a great guy, and you don't have to follow the path your father took. I'd just not do that quest. Okay, Garrosh wants to mope about whatever. Stay here and mope. Good on you. Have fun. And, then we could just skip that whole Siege of Orgrimmar thing. We can skip Garrosh's descent into darkness. I would be happy with that.
Matt?
No, I'm not going last, man. You go.
I really don't have one, honestly. Like, there are little things that I think maybe they could have made clearer or done a little bit different, maybe. But for the most part, I wouldn't want to really change anything. I think where we are is a result of everything that's come beforehand. So I kind of don't want to change anything. And I know it's sort of a non-answer, but honestly, it's where I'm at. Like, I think the flaws are there and I like them. Like, I like the idea of looking at, let's say, the cosmology chart, right? And looking at the cosmology chart and now having something in the grimoire that says, this is totally not right. Not because they're, you know, completely invalidating something, not because they're retconning something, quote unquote, but because there is a certain element of humanoid error in the storytelling in WoW. And I like when, instead of going back and changing something, they leverage that as part of it, if that makes sense. Like, we're imperfect. We understand things from certain perspectives. We are not the void. We don't see everything. And so when something happens and we get it wrong and we latch onto that as truth, and then later on it's proven wrong, it's not because they're fixing something or changing something, although sometimes maybe it is, but it's framed in the element of, yeah, of course you're going to see it like that because you're limited, or because your information is limited, or because you listened to a Titan and they're not exactly known for telling the truth. Like, there's a million reasons why all those little flaws happen, and I like them. So, legitimately, I really wouldn't change anything, I don't think. All right, Matt, you didn't have to go first. You didn't have to go second, so now you're up.
You go back and kill Garrona instead of letting her into Stormwind. Horde loses and is destroyed. there's nobody there for Medivh to convince to go across to Kalimdor. The Legion arrives. They successfully occupy half of Azeroth. They're still here. And that's been World of Warcraft ever since. The inhabitants of Azeroth fighting a desperate last stand, attempting to take back their planet from the Legion. That's what I'd do. Because I'm weird. And I think it would be awesome to actually have a storyline where you are trying desperately to reclaim your world, and it doesn't happen. And that's the thing about Legion that always kind of bothered me. I liked Legion in a lot of ways. I thought it was a good expansion with a good story. But at the end of it, I didn't buy that we were done. The expansion does not end the threat of the Legion. It just kicks the can down the road.
Which, yeah, it does.
And that's what they always do. And I don't necessarily want them to end the Legion, but I honestly felt like if I couldn't make the change I just told you, I would have made a change of they just closed the portal Illidan opened, and that's the end of the expansion. And the Legion's still out there, and they're still going to come back, and we haven't dealt with it. Because it would still be kicking the can down the road, but it would feel less... Like, I went through all of Argus, and we still didn't actually finish anything. And quite frankly, I didn't buy that we could win that fight.
Yeah.
I didn't buy that the forces we brought to Argus were strong enough to actually win it. Like, the Legion had practically limitless numbers. It is something that has gotten me ever since. So I'm kind of stuck on that. It would be one of those two things. It would either be the Legion is still on Azeroth right now. And it would be really hilarious. It's like, if you get rid of the Horde and the Legion invades and there's no Horde army in Kalimdor, does the Horde take over the Eastern Kingdoms and everybody just runs to Kalimdor? Do we end up with everybody living in Kalimdor? Do we end up with like some kind of super alliance that's everybody? Are there the few remaining orcs being ported in from Draenor as troops for the Legion? Like, is there any chance for them to escape their fate? What happened to that baby Thrall?
But does
sense, you know, there's a lot to this that I think you could play around with, but it would be a very different game.
Yeah. And I'm starting to wonder what that means for the Scourge too.
Yeah. Would they even exist? Would they have to exist? Like, there's a lot going on there. There would be a lot of changes. Honestly, this is the thing that disappointed me the most about Warlords of Draenor, was that they seemed completely afraid to tug on that thread that they'd kind of already tugged on. You know what I mean? Like, they'd opened up the door to everything could be slightly different. It's like, okay, is there an Azeroth connected to this world that they never went to invade because they're busy invading our Azeroth?
I mean, technically, like, we haven't dealt with the Infinite Dragonflight yet. They could still do this if they really wanted to.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing I'd be interested in doing.
All right. Liz, you had anything to add to that?
No.
All right.
That's a really cool idea.
Agreed. All right, our next question comes from our dear friend, Roxy. Hello, Roxy. For the podcast, it is I, Roxy, Goblin Shaman from Hyjal, US. I was watching a documentary on LuLaRoe, a woman's clothing company often accused of being a pyramid scheme, available on various streaming platforms. One of the commenters mentioned that pyramid schemes sell you that everything is possible, therefore nothing must be true. Is the Void a pyramid scheme? These Twilight Hammers people keep telling me if I recruit 10 more cultists, I can go to the next level. Thanks. Why am I suddenly getting like flashbacks of Pierce from Community and his like weird religion that like he has to level up in order to live forever? Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting concept because we still like we know kind of what the Void wants. But maybe it is a pyramid scheme. I don't know. Maybe they're selling them on the idea of like, hey, listen, we understand we want nothing to exist, but I'll tell you what. You help us get to the point where nothing exists, and then we'll make sure you still exist. How's that sound? But you got to get everything in order. You got to get 20 people on board, and those 20 people got to get 20 people on board each. You got to keep moving up. And then eventually we can make you, maybe we'll make you a Void Lord. How's that sound? I don't know. Entirely possible. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think that to a degree, what she's talking about is not necessarily a pyramid scheme in of itself, but a multi-level marketing scheme, which is it's a kind of pyramid scheme, but it is not every kind of pyramid scheme. I don't think multi-level marketing works here because there's no... Ultimately, the thing that happens to you as an investor in the old gods is that you go insane in a very non-insane way. It's not like... I wish they'd use a different word, quite frankly. We imported it from Lovecraft, but it's not sanity that's the issue. It's not that people go crazy. It's not a mental disorder. It's a complete warping of your worldview. It's the inability to, the idea that, that, you know, everything is, you know, everything is true, thus nothing is true sort of thing. Everything is possible, nothing is true, or everything is true, so, you know, nothing is forbidden sort of ideas, is they ultimately, they basically derive on the concept of abandoning your perspective. And without perspective, you have no way to gauge the severity or even the effect of your own actions. Once you don't have a place to stand, you know, mentally, and you don't have anything you consider important or moral, you don't have any mores and you don't have any ethics because you don't know what's real. You have no concept of what's actually going on or any way to judge what's going on. You can't tell a hawk from a handshaw, you know, is the old phrase. That's the thing about it that I always find interesting. Is it a pyramid scheme? I think it might be in the strict definition of, you know, go out there and get 10 people and those 10 people each get 10 people and so on until everybody on Azeroth is like, you know, yay, shadow and void. As far as that's concerned, yeah, that's a pretty good description of it. But I think in general, what's really going on with the old gods is that they're not a movement and they're not an organized religion. Their whole purpose is to create in you a sense of inability to judge, to take away from you perspective, to take, you know, you can't have a viewpoint and serve the old gods, because if you have a viewpoint, there will be things that you consider right and things that you consider wrong. And that's antithetical to what their ultimate goal is. They want you to be willing to do anything, to be able to do anything, to have no compunctions about doing anything, whatever it is. It's an alien worldview, which I think is the fascinating thing about it. So yeah, kind of a pyramid scheme, but certainly doesn't really have the, most pyramid schemes are basically just about the person that started that gets people funneling money at them. And the ultimate goal of it is just to keep funneling more money. It's basically capitalism. up front. I'll just tell you guys, that's what capitalism is. Capitalism is a pyramid scheme. You'll notice that, you know, shareholder controlled companies only grow and they can never not grow. Like if you had a company that was like owned by shareholders and it returned like the same return on its investment constantly, it didn't get much bigger, but it didn't get much smaller and it just existed, this would be considered a failure. And that's kind of what pyramid schemes are all about. You can't stop, because if you stop, the fact that there's actually nothing there would become exposed. And I mean, there's a, Can you make the argument that that's the case in the old gods? I don't know, because the old gods kind of are upfront about the fact that nothing there. They sort of want you to know nothing's there and nothing is where we're going.
Get in, losers. We're going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, I hope that answers your question, but yeah, it's.
Well, Liz didn't get to answer it.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I don't know if I have an answer. I mean, I would ask, we have multiple old gods and they seem to have different goals and they explicitly don't seem to cooperate with each other. They seem kind of competitive with each other. So is there one goal of the void that we're working towards, that the old gods want us to work towards? Like, don't you kind of have to have an end goal here to have a pyramid scheme leading up to it?
You know, you're making me wonder if what we have here are a relative, like a war between various kinds of pyramid scheme.
Yeah, maybe. That is a really good point. All right.
That's our serious answer to a not so serious question, I think.
I mean, I'm all for it because I like these types of questions. Please keep sending them to us, please. But I think you're up for the next one there.
So Stoppable Horse asked, can it be 915 now? That's my question.
No.
Yeah, I think the answer is just a straight no. Sorry.
Stop is one of our guildies for Liz and myself, and he asked this question during raid and I responded. I don't think anybody heard me. It was probably for the best, but I'm gonna do it now because I think it's hilarious. Also because the person who did it is awful, but not because of that. But when he mentioned this, when he said this, for whatever reason, I thought of the Morrissey song and the Smiths, like How Soon Is Now, and that song just started playing in my head. Like so yeah, thanks. Thanks for that, Stop.
Worst part is when you mention How Soon Is Now, immediately my brain goes, what is love? Like, what is love, brain?
Our brains are a dangerous place.
Is that really his fault, though?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm absolutely blaming him for that. You heard me stop. You heard me. You know what you did. But yeah, I don't think there's really much to add to that. I think we all just want 9.1.5. So hopefully and soon.
I think we're probably 6 to 8 weeks out still.
Yeah, give or take.
Maybe 6. Yeah.
I think 8 weeks out is being nice and being optimistic.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
So yeah, if you consider now to be 8 weeks from now, then yes. Otherwise, no.
And I think we have time for one more before we have to call it good for today. And
I think you should skip the last one as part of the main email.
Why?
Come on.
I never get to do this.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
This is one of those rare moments, folks, where somebody asks a question and it is specifically for me. So thank you. This is from Wilford Brimley. Apparently the ghost of Wilford Brimley. Are there Lady Tuskar? If not, how do they make baby Tuskar? I know Joe wants playable Tuskar, so I thought I'd ask. So, canonically, yes, there is female Tuskar. Here's the fun bit. This is, and I say fun in quotes, they went the dwarf route with them. And what I mean by the dwarf route is in the old, like, days of, like, dwarven, like, fantasy writing, all dwarves had beards. Male, female, didn't matter. They had beards. That was just how it was. Tuskar are the same thing, but with mustaches. Legitimately, canonically in-game, they all have mustaches, so you have no idea if you're dealing with a male or a female Tuskar.
You see, but here's the thing. Walrus females don't have big tusks like male walruses do. They have tusks, but they're not nearly as big. So not only do Lady Tuskars have mustaches like female like male Tuskar, they also have giant tusks like male Tuskar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for it. I needed to answer this question because it was about Tuskar. I'm sorry. I still want playable Tuskar. This is my joy moment.
I feel like we've got time for one more question.
We do. We absolutely do. So go ahead, Liz.
Okay. Jack Study asked, if a full-on Fix Azeroth expansion isn't in the cards, do you think it's time for a refresh of all the random NPCs in Stormwind or elsewhere to update the passing of time? A second or third generation can get shuffled into the mix. What regular folks NPCs would you like to see revisited? I really like this idea, because one thing MMOs are kind of bad at is the world is static. For all they keep adding content, the world is really static, and that does get kind of boring. You go back to Stormwind and it's always Stormwind. You go back to Orgrimmar, it's always Orgrimmar. You go back to Shattrath City, it's always Shattrath City. I mean, everything is frozen in time and you don't get the sense of progression. But I don't really know how you can do that. Do you add new NPCs? Is it something phased? I don't know.
I would just add some new NPCs and update the dialogue on some of the older ones. Like, there was that, I know that she ended up having, like, undead kids, and she's in one of the novels, but the lady used to wander around Stormwind complaining that her farm got destroyed, you know? Mm-hmm. Just update her dialogue, so she's like, my undead sons are all dead. I mean, you know, just deader, I guess deader, I don't know. Just move some things along, like, you know. There's a funny one that's in Stormwind as well. When you go into the cathedral and you ask where Archbishop Benedictus is, and they're like, oh, he's off on some mission. You're like, didn't he turn evil and attack the Alliance? That sounds ridiculous. That would never happen. So it's like, Archbishop Benedictus has been missing for like 10 years at this point, guys. I think you should give up and maybe get a new archbishop. Just my opinion. So yeah, I think that kind of thing would be cool. For some, it would be very hard. Like, for instance, the NPCs who wander around Undercity and Tel Adrasil Darnassus, mm-hmm. going to have a hard time updating their dialogue. And I'd also say, I think at this point, we do need to actually do something like, say, where are the Forsaken living? Or not living, they're not doing any living. But where are they putting their stuff, if they have any stuff? Where do they, like, lie down and, like, look up at the ceiling and go, yeah, I don't sleep anymore, right? Where are they? And I'm not just saying, I'm sure they have an answer. I think we've talked about that. It's Anderhall or whatever. Mm-hmm. But do that. Have some NPCs in Orgrimmar going, so how are the Forsaken doing in Anderhall now? Well, they haven't all moved in yet. We still got some in the underside of Orgrimmar, but it's going well. And, you know, when you go up to Hyjal to, like, go farm Firelands for some transmog gear, there should be more night elves wandering around, and like there'd be like a sentinel going, how has, have our people completed the transfer here to Hyjal? No, more is still coming every day. That kind of thing would be great, and it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, I think that would definitely be a cool thing to do.
Honestly, I think
it depends.
Oh, go ahead.
Go on, Joe. I was you haven't talked yet.
I was just going to say, like, I kind of hope that they do. And with, we've talked about it before with them making changes to a lot of aspects of the game. And if you haven't read on the site, like we have articles up about it. We've talked about it on the podcast here. Honestly, visit our site, listen to our podcast, please. This is a really good opportunity for them to start looking at that type of, we've been talking about it a lot in staff chat as well, where, you know, they're updating photos and pictures and, you know, either renaming or removing NPCs based off of the current events. But maybe they do a more wider sweep and start updating things, make people older, make them react to things that have happened since, you know, their lines were current. Matt and I used to talk, or we do talk about on Lorewatch a lot about, you know, what does the common people think of what's going on everywhere? Because we often forget about that. But having stuff like this, like updated to sort of take into account, like, yeah, the sky opened up and a whole bunch of demons came down on ships. That was weird, wasn't it? Yeah, that was really weird. They ate all my, they took all my pumpkins. They took my hogs. Yeah, strange. Like,
I'm sorry, but I'm loving the idea they took all my pumpkins.
It always comes
a bunch of demons in a pumpkin patch going, you know what's the best part about this is? Pumpkins. Boo, I love when we invade Azeroth. You know, you're right. You're right, Jackathrax. These pumpkins, let's carve them into shapes. That would be so cool. You know, I don't know why, but this is great for me.
Listen, if we've established anything last week over our podcast is that it always comes down to pumpkins. But honestly, like, yeah, seriously, like, have stuff updated occasionally, and I understand that it's a huge undertaking, but even if it's a voice line or a throwaway, or even if it's not recorded, if it's just dialogue text or something to acknowledge that time has passed, I like that idea. I like the idea of having time move. What were you going to say, Liz?
Do, like a mini cataclysm every time. You know, Cataclysm went and did that huge refresh of the old world. You don't need to do a huge refresh of the old world, but you could, you know, add a few things and, you know, change a few things and destroy some pumpkin farms. I don't know. But just, like, sometimes you can do a lot with a little. I mean, you don't have to totally remake the game, but you could make it seem a lot more vibrant and lively and changing if, like, every expansion or even every patch you, like, change just a little bit of dialogue, particularly in the big cities where we all congregate. If you kind of took things up, even just a little bit, it would be cool.
Anybody seen the king lately? No, I have no idea where he is. didn't a big flying person snag him with change from the sky? That's ridiculous. We would know if that happened. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps us up for this there podcast. We didn't say this at the beginning, so I'll say it now. If you've got a question for the podcast, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. If you want to send an email, just put in podcast@blizzardwatch so we know it's for the show. And if you'd rather use our Discord, we've got the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel, which a lot of these came from, or the Q Questions channel. You can ask questions there. If you're a patron, obviously use the Patron one because we look at that one first. Thank you guys very much for the questions that we could get to answer. And thanks to Joe and Liz for being here on the podcast, because if they're not here, it's just me talking for an hour. And I mean, I could do it, but I don't think anybody would want to hear it. Joe, you usually do a wrap-up thing, right?
I am. And just to remind all the folks out there, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ad-free site experience.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, and thank you guys for being here, and thank you, Liz, for getting us some of the questions that we got, because we kind of had to put this together really fast. Thank you all. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.